This is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 16, Hobart and Ithaca at Boswell Field, Saturday, 1 o'clock, Liberty League opener. I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and joined again by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So it went really exactly according to plan against Keystone, 65-6. You got up big early, got to rest some guys in the second half, got to take a look at some different guys, and you couldn't have asked for a better scenario on how that game played out.
Yeah, it did play out hopefully how it was, you know, we had intended it to be, where all this, obviously the first drive didn't quite go as well. They were able to move the ball on our defense, but they did get that stop, and then offense was able to capitalize, took the early lead, and then the special teams gave us a short field. And then I think what you want to do, if you have a team that is hopefully going to be superior, you want to be able to jump on them, and we did. And then really it was a pretty good balance on offense, and we were able to get some of our number twos and number threes in the game early, and still was able to run our offense and evaluate those guys there. And, minus a couple injuries that we had, I thought both the offense and defense was able to play the game plans as we intended. Execution was good. And, I think across the board, I was happy to get out of there and be able to come back home as we now jump into league play a little bit healthier than we were, the week prior.
Mike McGee, 16 tackles, 3 for loss, a sack, a forced fumble, drove the bus home. I mean, when I see a number like that, I ask myself, is that a guy who just had a good game, or has he figured something out that's going to now carry forward?
Interesting enough, I mean, he's a young man from Pennsylvania, and his role has been increasing since week one. And, he put those numbers up, and he's not even a starter. He jumped in, in the first series we lost, starting outside linebacker. I think it was play two. And Mike's done a great job. He's done everything, inside and outside backer in certain situations, big guy on our special teams. And we just seen week in, week out, he's really bought into the preparation standpoint. He reminds me of some really great linebackers we've coached in the past in terms of understanding the preparation that has to come, from Sunday through Friday to make sure that you're ready to play on Saturday. He's more mature than most first years at this point in terms of his preparation. And then on top of it, we know he's a really good player. So I think he was ready for the opportunity. He was going to play regardless, but then he was really jumped into the starting role there early in the game, and he just flew around. It was really exciting to see him play with that speed and aggressiveness with confidence. And, you don't put up those stats by accident. And, they were running away from him, they were running to him, and it just seemed like he was always around the ball. So it's a great attribute for a linebacker to, every time you're looking up and see him around the ball, he just had a knack to get there.
Ever since Hobart went to the 3-4 defense, you've had at least 7 or 8 guys rotating in on that defensive line, and they all do a great job, and it pays off as games go on when you got those fresh legs on the D-line.
Yeah, we believe in keeping fresh there, and sometimes we're not as big as some other teams, so sometimes just being able to rotate fresh bodies in there, we're always going to try to rely on quickness and athleticism as much as we can. And, by rotating, you might not have one DN by the end of the year that has, significantly huge stats. The stats that matters for those guys is the productivity that they do up front, and then more importantly, helping the defense and team get the win. So a lot of our D linemen over the years, and including this year, are guys who just really believe in the technique, believe in the teaching that they're getting, and then they give maximum effort out there. And I thought our guys took a step forward the last 2 weeks at the D line, and now obviously we'll be tested this week with a really big and senior-oriented line from Ithaca.
The secondary, we talked a little bit in the St. John Fisher game about those guys getting beat a couple of times and them not being able to make the play, but I don't think anybody got beat in that Keystone game, and those guys are making some great one-on-one plays on 50-50 balls.
Yeah, we were down our starter. James Mahoney didn't play last week, and the one thing in our defensive staff has seen it, like we have some experience in the defensive backfield, so we're able to move a couple guys around and have experience that we didn't have maybe 2 seasons ago. And we had Joe McCoy stepping in, and then on the boundary, a couple guys, Chris Tumba and Abdullah Diallo, Makai Rogers, a young freshman, came in and played pretty well there. So I think the good sign was, they got one early on, actually the first series they got behind them, and they dropped the ball on the one. other than that, I thought we had pretty good coverage on the back end. And, you know, again, when we can do a good job stopping the run, it allows our guys to mix up some of the coverages on the back end. And I think the experience on the back end can sometimes, you know, make up for if there's a, you know, a hole or something that we're giving up front. So that's probably been the biggest growth from week one to where we are now, is just maybe some of the seams that we had up there in preseason in week one. I think we've done a better job trying to close those gaps. And again, we'll be tested this week and moving forward with some offenses that are going to throw around more than maybe some of the teams that we faced the first couple weeks.
You've always been aggressive in going after punts. Tafari Johnson, first-year linebacker, got a block, and you could see the effect the rest of the way. Their punter popped one almost straight up. He was really in a rush to get rid of it after that block.
Yeah, Coach Rip and I talk about it with our guys, special teams. You know, everyone wants to have that big kickoff return or the punt block. Oftentimes, just the scheme and the strategies of how to go after it can still alter other punts. And so Tafari got the first one, you know, and we talked about it. We had another one later on where our guy maybe should have had his hands lower and we could have gotten one there. But then that resulted in a couple maybe shorter punts and or also a situation where they fumbled the snap and it almost results the same as a punt block. So we tried to do our best to win the field position through special teams, offense, and defense. And then in that game, you could just see the difference of where the offense was starting off and then obviously the longer field that Keystone had to go against our defense.
And I thought the punt rushers showed good poise when they didn't get there in checking up and making sure they didn't run into the kicker.
Maturity that's didn't happen in week two, you know. So again, progress week in, week out. We're trying to find ways to improve, and I agree. I think we've started to get some guys that have stepped up in some special teams and maybe solidified like impactful guys in those units. And most importantly, is them being able to execute in some situations where you might not get the block. Again, knowing where you know, where to hold up and not give up a 15-yard penalty and give them the offense back.
Tell us about Cashin Young. We mentioned his name a couple of times in kick coverage, making tackles. Then they go with the short line drive kick, and he picks it up and runs it 60 yards.
Yeah, Cash has done, and I said this to the guys, to the team, he and about three or four other guys that have really stepped up. And Cash is a good linebacker for us and just, you know, maybe hasn't had the significant role on defense yet that he wants. He keeps working, and he came to see me early in the season, and we talked about having him a larger role in special teams. And the best thing about him is it's easy. Sometimes you give direction to some guys and they can't follow through on it. He jumped up and gave us a great look on scout. And all of a sudden, the next week, now he's on our starting unit. And then, you know, he's done a really, really good job. He, you know, he's flown down on kickoff cover. We have now on kickoff return. And again, as a linebacker, you know, most people aren't afraid to, you know, hey, kick it to them. He scooped it up, and great job by some of the other guys up front getting some blocks. And I think he was surprised to have that long return. And again, special teams setting up the offense with a short field.
Offensively, David Cruzen didn't have to work too much. The Cruzen's crew was there with their orange T-shirts, all from New Ringgold. Old PA, but he just looks like a different guy this year. I mean, 5 of 6, he threw 6 times, over 100 yards, and took the rest of the day off.
Yeah, efficiency. Again, we've talked about it, and if he can continue to play with that type of efficiency, our offense is going to be that much more dynamic. And we didn't have to throw that much on Saturday. But it shows the balance that we have in our offense this year, which is going to make us a more dangerous and dynamic offense. You know, the one incompletion was actually a breakdown on protection that he was throwing away. So even a sound decision, where an incompletion is a good decision there. And, you know, again, I think as we've had moving parts at the receiver position because of some injuries, it's been good to say, hey, we can still be efficient even with some of the younger guys and guys playing different roles within the receiving core. But it was great to see. And again, another one of our Pennsylvania guys. We love to recruit the state of Pennsylvania, and he had a great showing with family and friends coming close to down near the Scranton area.
And as a quarterback, you're very confident when your guys are just grabbing balls. Even though you're down a couple of receivers, these young guys, if that ball's in traffic, they're making the catch, and that makes your quarterback confident he can throw it there.
Yeah, we always talk about, you know, some of those situations. Obviously, accuracy as a quarterback is more important than arm strength. And our guys have strong arms, but I say that because sometimes, you know, even when we were younger, you know, quarterbacks would try to rip those balls in there. And that's always important sometimes in tight windows. But a lot of times an accurate ball gives our receiver knowing, and we actually spent some time yesterday in practice just talking about ball location. You know, the, you know, good defenses are going to cover you, but there's still times to throw your receivers open. And we talk about that. And I thought David and the quarterbacks have done a good job job, and we'll need to continue to do that as we face tighter and tighter coverages with upcoming defenses.
We were all very happy to see number one come on the field. Rayshon Boswell got a series near the end of the half. Looked pretty good. I think his first run was 17 or 19 yards. How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's progressing. You know, still not 100%, but you know, come a long ways from where we were early in the season. And again, just his presence. You know, the other day in practice, guys got excited, you know, just, you know, seeing him out there joking around. He's got fresh legs. Well, you know, we've obviously had to recover, and, you know, he's not at 100%, but his presence, you know, gives us a little bit more of a, you know, addition on offense to, you know, just use his versatility.
And then when he's gone and Tim Denham Jr. is gone, Andres Duran is a pretty good running back. He's a big guy. He's hard to bring down. And when he's been called upon, he's done the job.
Yeah, Andres is a really solid back. And I think, unfortunately, just because of you know, Tim and Ray, sometimes you know, some of our other backs maybe get overshadowed. And you know, obviously understanding that. But you know, each one of those backs are different in their own ways. Andres brings a larger, more physical presence. You know, still has the quickness, not necessarily the same breakaway speed as the other two, but has shown his physicality the last couple weeks. And I love physical backs, regardless of weight. I love guys that, you know, play with a low demeanor and pad level. And, you know, yes, it's great to make guys miss, but against good defense, sometimes you got to get those tough yards, and that's being able to finish forward. And Andres has done a really good job with that. And I've been really pleased with his pass protection too. You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, with running backs, you don't always see, you know, the stats when the ball's not in your hands, but that's really what defines great running backs. And our guys take pride in when the ball's not in their hands, working just as hard as an old lineman, or, you know, vice versa, if the ball's being run, our receiver's blocking. And when we can get to that point where truly 11 guys just caring about doing their 111th for their teammates, that's when we're going to be at our best on offense.
And then with a big lead, you got a chance to get an extended look at Maddox and Wantuck in the second half. Each got their first career touchdown. It's great when those guys who work hard in practice can have it pay off and get recognized on the field.
Absolutely. And Zach was has been our scout offensive player, done a really good job. So it was great to get him his first touch, and you know, he earned it, ran it very well. And Byron has shown really good flashes, you know, as a young guy, still kind of, you know, learning the offense. And you know, as he continues to get stronger and more confident in some of our schemes, I think his role can continue to increase there and in special teams.
Now you take on Ithaca in the league opener. They were the preseason favorite in the Liberty League, 3-0. Rested off a bye week, great quarterback, great scheme. Tell us a little bit about the Bombers.
Yeah, I mean, Ithaca is a very strong team, and there's a reason why they're, you know, in the national rankings up high. They've blown away all three of their opponents, so it hasn't really been a close game. They jump on teams early. One of the things, and you know, when you look at it, it's not surprising. They have talent and experience coming back. They're deep. But more importantly, they have seniors at every single position. If they're not starting a senior or a graduate student, they have a senior probably in the two deep that, you know, got beat up by, you know. So they're mostly seniors and juniors. And as any coach will talk about, experience is just one of those things. And they're healthy. So I think it's going to be a really good challenge for us. We're excited, obviously, to open up the league play at home against these guys and know that, you know, they have the advantage of having that bye week. That's one thing we can't take away. The last couple times we've played them, they've had that bye week. So having 2 weeks to prepare, to get rested up, and, you know that last week as we were getting ready for Keystone, they were getting ready for us. Nothing we can change. We obviously talk about controlling our controllables, but I know our guys will be excited to play a very good Ithaca team coming in.
It starts up front. They're massive on the offensive line, average 309. Do you do anything different technique-wise or scheme-wise when you're facing such a big O-line?
Yeah, we're going to have to. I mean, they're definitely committed to running the ball more than they have in the past. And obviously everything goes through their quarterback. AJ's a very good and talented quarterback, been a starter for, you know, his career there. But the interesting part, you know, with them up front, they're big and, you know, they still will spread the ball out. So I think that's the thing. They're not going to just stay in tight sets to do it. So we're going to have to, you know, keep them moving up front. We can't just sit still. You know, we're not as big as those guys up front on our D-line. So you mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to have to rotate some guys through and stay fresh. And, you know, I think what we're going to try to do is just try to get them to the point where they're not 100% sure where we're at. If we sit still, that I think that's the advantage for Ithaca. So, and that's one of the advantages of a 3-4 base defense. And we're going to, I mean, if anyone watches this on video, we don't just stay in a 3-4. We're doing some things. But the big thing is our guys up front got to be, you know, pound for pound strong and hold up and do it. And then, as always, our linebackers got to then be able to rally to the ball, linebackers, safeties, and DBs. And they have weapons up front with their strength and experience. I mean, the entire offensive line comes back with experience and their backups. Obviously, the quarterback, AJ, I mean, he's a dynamic quarterback. He can make plays with his feet and his arm and just does a great job improvising. So even when things are not there initially, he can extend plays, and it's shown, you know, in past against us and even in this year where he can kind of create plays. He's that type of dynamic quarterback. They're running the ball better than they've done in the past. I think partly that is maybe more of a commitment to the run game. So we understand we still got to be able to stop the run. And then, as always, they have some weapons on the outside, bringing back experience and some guys that are, you know, they'll chuck the ball around. And one of the things they do really well is they, you know, they won't throw the ball downfield unless they have to. It's a lot of quick games, so the ball comes out quickly. So you're not always going to get your shots on the quarterback and necessary tackles for loss. They stay ahead of the chains. So our defense is going to have to do a really good job, you know, being able to get some first and second down stops so that they're not always in those third and shorts.
But they're also a team, we've seen this in the past, they will dare you to stop the run and come up and pack the box, and if they see that big play open, they'll take that shot.
Absolutely, and I think that's where you have to choose your poison sometimes is do you try to stop the run or ultimately do you try to, you know, match up and have to bring an extra guy in the box, which then opens up the perimeter throws. Or if you try to go man-to-man, they have some dynamic receivers that can create some issues and some one-on-one issues.
And defensively, they're a little bit different. Their D-line, they play a 4-3. The D-line isn't that big. They're more kind of quickness guys. What challenge does that present for the offensive line?
Yeah, last year they were they had three or four seniors that were up front that did a pretty good job, you know, holding up at the line of scrimmage. You know, early on in the game, it took us a little bit to get it going, and we ran the ball a little bit better later in the game. But their team is based on their defense is based on speed. The way I look at it, they're very sound in what they do. They're going to be a base 4-3. They'll mix it up and give you some 3-4, some short yardage situations. They'll give you a 5-man front, but ultimately, their linebackers, their safeties, and that's where they have more experience on their defense is the back seven. So they'll kind of like our defense, they're going to rotate their D-line through to keep them fresh, and they are based on length and quickness. So they have really good you know, edge rushers and inside hold up pretty well against the run. I mean, I think they're giving up less than 3 yards a carry, which is, you know, statistically really, really strong. And then they just rally it. So you look at their linebackers and then their safeties in particular with experience, almost everybody on their back seven comes back with experience. So like I said, maybe the one position on offense and defense where they might have a couple new faces will be in the D-line, but everything else is coming back with true game experience.
You have to talk about breaks a little bit. It seems like there are certain teams that you struggle against and you just can't get a break. The key flag always goes against you. The key turnover goes against you. The little mistake. I mean, you can't have those things. That's, I'm sure you talked to the team about that a lot this week, about as well as you've done, everyone has to turn up a notch now.
Yeah, it's a fine line. And I thought 2 years ago when we played Ithaca, we made it a much bigger game than it needed to be. And in that game in particular, you know, there was a couple questionable calls. We lose them at Ford on a call that wasn't necessarily true. And that kind of just swayed the momentum a little bit. And we didn't execute well. It had nothing to do with, I mean, they were a good opponent, but we just didn't execute on our end. I thought last year we approached it with a much more sound focus of just saying, hey, we know it's a big game, but at the end of the day, it is going to come down to who executes better. And I thought last year's game was pretty well played in the sense of, you know, there weren't as many like significant, you know, turnovers, where there was only one turnover in the game that led to a short field and didn't help us. But, you know, both quarterbacks played fairly well. Both teams and defenses played hard and physical. It was a pretty well played game. And then we had opportunities to make some plays and we didn't, especially late in the game. So, I think our guys have the right mindset right now. We understand coming in that, you know, Ithaca is the favorite. And they've rolled over all their opponents. Everyone thought in the beginning of the season they were who they are, and then they're a very good team. But I also think this is more about us than it is any opponent. And this is no knock against Ithaca or anyone we play. To me, if we play to our standards, we're going to be in every game. And then from there, and then in a close game against a good team, will we create our breaks? I don't believe in allowing that thing to happen on our own. We got to play to the point where we can create those breaks and make them go. Control our controllables. And like I said, when you play a good team, there's certain things out of your control. But if we can play to our level, I think we're going to have a really good game on Saturday.
I know that you don't make excuses, but do you ever sit there at night and say, I wish we could just have our full, healthy team that we thought we'd have coming out of camp?
I think especially on offense right now, I think we would be a much different offense through four games. We've had a lot of moving parts, and you know, I you know, nothing that we could have changed could have affected some of those, you know, injuries and whatnot. But that being said, we've also gained the ability of other guys stepping up in roles. I think there's been some younger guys who now have key experience that if their number is called or right now, that maybe allows us to be a little bit more deeper as we head into league play. And, you know, everyone's circling in this game. We're also looking at the big picture. We have a bye week coming up after this week where I think that rest and recharge is always great for any team, especially a team that right now isn't necessarily where we want to be. We have a couple guys on defense that are question marks for this game. We have a couple guys, obviously, again, on offense. So, as we always will do, we're going to focus on this week. But I also think the bye week's coming at a really good opportunity for us to kind of recharge, regroup, and then head into the rest of league play after this week.
You mentioned that Wingfield gets rid of the ball quickly. They're big up front. How does that affect your pass rush scheme? Do you bring more blitz, or do you say, we're probably not going to get to him much, we have to play more cover?
Well, I think last year we had a really good balance between it. I mean, we were able to get to him more than most teams last year. We had some key sacks. We got some pressures. So sometimes it's not even always just going to equate as a sack, but a pressure that forces them to move the pocket or get them off of the landmark. At the same time, they capitalize on a couple of our pressures. You know, so I think it's being opportunistic on when to do those. Our pass rush is still developing right now up front between our D-line and our linebackers. And he's a really good quarterback. He's a senior. You're not going to throw much at him that they haven't seen, haven't prepared for. And especially, and I keep going back to it, the biggest advantage right now is the 2 weeks of preparation. You give our staff 2 weeks, we usually are pretty, our guys are going to be dialed in. So what we've tried to do in 1 week is be able to continue to build off of what we're doing. So I think this is the big picture of, is our defense going to be a week stronger than they were last week? Our special teams going to be a week stronger? Offensively, are we going to be a week stronger? And honestly, minus the blunders that we did self-inflicted in week two, we have gotten better each week. You know, and as a coach, that's what I asked our guys in week one. And it didn't matter if it was this year or any team I've ever coached, is are we continuing to find ways to improve? And we've done that. Now what we got to find is, can we find ways to improve from week four into week five? As you play a stronger, this is going to be our biggest challenge to date. And who knows in the future what this game looks like compared to other games. We don't know about those yet, but based on what we've seen so far, this is the deepest and most talented team who's also the freshest and has the 2 week preparation. So what we can control is how we perform this week. Our guys have been really dialed in. We've had a great week of practice up to this point. And I think it really is going to come down to the level that we play and our execution level in all three phases as much as it is about our opponent.
When good teams play, it usually comes down to big plays. Your team, with the exception of that one game, has made big plays at big times all year. Here's hoping for more of the same on Saturday, and best of luck.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Ted.
Head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. You can, of course, listen to the Hobart Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including on Apple Podcasts, and get all your news of HWS Athletics at hwsathletics.com. We'll see you at the Boz Saturday, 1 o'clock for Ithaca.